At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Complete your staining project with Pittsburgh Paints and Stains, now at Menards. Stain in one coat with Ultra Advanced Semi-Transparent Stain. It's a stain and sealant in one that can be applied to damp wood and on hot, sunny days, allowing you to clean and stain your deck in one day. Save big money on Pittsburgh Paints and Stains and head into Menards to get your staining project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
I don't know. How do you like your porch talk? You like it scrambled? You like it sunny side up? We're at Waffle House. We're serving up episodes of a podcast. I don't know what you want. Here's Farouk. He's back with me.
Yeah,
dude.
I like
what's good, dude?
I like my porch talk chili.
He likes a little chili with it, dude. There's a special kind of order for that. I think they call it, I don't know what they call that thing over there. But it's a way that you order your hash browns.
Oh, yeah.
When you're properly initiated and, I'm not, I guess. But yeah, dude. AI.
It's funny that this term was coined for a very, very classical and old type of intelligence. You just wanted to say we can manufacture intelligence, but at the core of it, the whole thing is just trying to imitate the human mind. You ever heard of neural network? You know Elon Musk's company right now, Neuralink? It works on that.
Neuralink, yeah. That's when they put a chip in your head.
Yeah. Well, the main thing is... not in your head. Don't freak people out. The
main thing is... okay, yeah. Not freaking you out, dude. Neuralink's not totally not doing that.
They are just trying to imitate how the human minds work. And maybe with all these connections between the different parts and the different neurons and all this stuff.
Yeah.
They call it artificialized type of intelligence. But it's really something that we didn't invent. We're just trying to imitate what already exists. We did not invent a new type of intelligence. As a matter of fact, the word intelligence is so ambiguous that even in philosophy, there is no real definition of it. How do you define intelligence?
How do I?
Yeah.
I think it works on multiple levels. And I think that's why like defining it is hard. Like, I think you can be socially intelligent. You can be intelligent when it comes to the arts. You can be intelligent when it comes to science.
So you're defining intelligence by result, by the result of it, by the work. You look at it and you say,
yeah,
that's intelligent.
Yeah.
Well, this is not the way you actually define things. The definition of a thing should result in the consequences of it and what you call as results. You do not define something from its results on a fundamental level. That's why it's ambiguous. You see, even our understanding of the concept of intelligence is not somehow complete or, let's say, universal. A cosmic intelligence, you can pretty much describe the solar system or the entire universe as a very intelligent system. And that's why so many people would believe in God and say, oh, this would never have existed without, you know, a big designer out there, right? A big architect, a god.
Sure.
You define that by the result of it.
See? Dude, that's wild.
See?
Because, like, that's also how you define, like, let's take something that my dumb mind makes, Porch Fest. And if you have a good time with that, you would, like, look back to the creator of it and you'd be like, he must know something. But then when you listen to him, and in fact you realize that he's just kind of out there.
Yeah.
But dude, that's, yeah. Yeah. That's the thing that we, but
and I mean, so
you study, they write books about these kind of things. They study these kind of things. There has to be something. And we're advancing it, are we?
We are. We are. But again, that does not, the existence of something does not unconditionally imply that there must have been a cause for that thing. This statement might not be 100% scientific, let alone a little bit controversial. But there are some things, as a matter of fact, in science and physics that happens without cause. What we're doing right now is defining things from the result. It's called inferring causation from correlation. You're correlating stuff and you're saying that just because of this correlation that they are linked, oh, there must be a cause and a result for it.
Sure.
But inferring that causation comes from correlation is a big fallacy. This is not the case.
Well, I think that's something that humans do, though.
Well, they like that's to, why science exists.
They like to create
that's right.
reasons why. And they're trying to understand the world and how they interact with it, right?
That's correct. But your understanding has to be somehow, I wouldn't say 100% true, but somehow closer, so it'd be realistic. You wouldn't be living in your own world. You see, well, a lot of people wouldn't actually engage in this conversation we're engaging in right now, because the level we're trying to describe is very fundamental and basic. But this is really when it comes to, you wanna just, a couple hours ago you were asking, what is life? What is it about? This is where it comes to. All these basics, all these fundamentals, and you start building on it. Now, you can look at it from a very detailed point of view, or you can look at it from a very, you know, big point of view, and other thing. But I do think you have to have both mentalities.
Yeah.
If you want to, you know, as you exactly said, you do have both mentalities, but you're manifesting it. You said social intelligence, you said intelligence when it comes to science. You can actually differentiate and point out between them on, you know, a smaller and a bigger level.
Yeah. I know I have to. I know the audience. I know how to, like, you got to read the room, dude.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying anything good or bad about the room. It's just what room I'm in. And, like, you try to do the lowest common denominator. How can we maximize the amount of fun that we're having? That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to have a good time.
Yeah.
You know, and we're trying to...
We're all for it.
And, you know, and we're trying to have, like, a good time while talking about some hard shit. I'm trying to play ball with you. So, I mean, but... Let's lighten up a little bit, dude. Like, dude, take me back to, like, school. You're a young man studying in Egypt. Like, I just want to know, because I know we studied different world history. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know. Especially when I actually started to read in English. And get resources, you know, or let's say, I don't want to say Western made, because I don't want to make difference and differentiate between people. I just want to say a different narrative of history.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, it's...
Dude, I took this class. This was for my bachelor's, and I was studying world religion, right? And also, like, language. Oh, that's my game, brother. And like we took the road to Africa, and there's literature to where you can read the losing side of the wars, and dude, like, there's been some bloody wars fought in Africa. in the Congo, South Africa, all over the world for that matter. But anyway, like, focusing on this area, but like, reading the narrative from the losing side, from what you know, from what's taught, what an eye-opener. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not saying that they were right or the winners were wrong or whatever else. It's just like, I can definitely see why they had conflict. And
yeah, why they would never meet.
Yeah.
They would never understand each other. I would never get you.
Yes.
We have been taught different things. What I think.
Yeah, is we can't exist in the same plane.
Yeah. I live in my own universe and aura, and you do the same for you, and we don't intersect. And I think, man, this is messing up with the whole world. I think the scale of this is so bigger than wars. I think the scale of it is just devastating.
I mean, think about the prospect of what we were talking about earlier, dude. Is we're trying to go interstellar?
Yeah.
How the fuck are you going to do that? Are you going to just send people just from one nation? And that's disrespectful to the world. You got to send people from all parts.
You have to educate them.
Like, this is our culture, our heritage, and this is the world, do you know?
I know.
But we... somehow we just can't seem to do that.
That's right. That's right. And it's been going on for a while that we actually now see the results of it. That we actually now see how bad this has, you know, taken us for. It's only getting worse. There is no real yeah. you know, optimism right here. We hope. Yes, we're all for the good of it. Yeah, I 100% on that. But
oh,
really,
dude.
Just be realistic.
Dude, I can't tell you, like, through my studies, like, in college or in high school, being able to connect with people like you from different parts of the world and to become friends and to talk about worldviews, religion, history, and how we perceive the world, and to be open about it, means a lot, but there ain't enough of that to change the mind of the main populace, dude. This is fucking nuts.
Yes.
Yeah. We just do our best.
But hopefully it's gonna change. I mean, all right, so just linking this history narrative story to how you actually introduce it to the public. You would have a mediator.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, we call it the media. Right? Social media, cable news, whatever news you need.
We try to do that.
Well, this is basically the main track to manufacture a consent from the people. If you give them a specific narrative, I don't want to say not in any kind of way, how specific narrative, you're basically asking for future consent or something. Mm. I mean, otherwise you would have just told them what really happened.
Yeah, but all of a sudden you have to have consensus.
Yeah.
From this social media, and then if your message doesn't align with what they're trying to convey, they'll shut you down.
Yeah.
That ain't free speech. And don't it make us a whole lot better if we could just hear the other side of the story, and then we might find that the truth is somewhere in the middle.
Maybe. I mean, because you talked about free speech right now, it's still very hard to regulate and categorize.
Oh, the fact that you're trying to say regulate free speech. Freedom is not something to be regulated.
I agree. But not everything can be said as free speech.
Okay.
Some stuff are just violations. Clear. Okay. Some stuff are just invasion of your, you know, personal area. Yeah. I know what... I have a pretty good idea about free speech, but there are some shit that's been thrown over there that you just have to stop it.
Okay.
Okay. So you can't allow the pedophilia to and the pornography and
hell yeah, dude.
All this shit right on social media.
Yeah, we're
this
firing on all cylinders.
I'm trying to regulate, but at the same time, how you trying to because trying to regulate the thing, you're trying to make it as universal as possible. It's just one minimal set of rules that applies all over the platform, and it could filter out all the bad stuff, give us all the good stuff. Thing is, how you define bad and good?
You have to have morality.
There is no... The world is not black and white as we might
well,
see.
Well, that's the problem. That's the problem for Root, because like we have all these different sets of morality. We have all these different religions.
And that's and people are different. The thing is how we actually...
That's
the interaction.
That's the crux of it.
Yes.
Because like when you hop online, you're no longer just talking to somebody from Starkville, Mississippi. You're talking to somebody from Zimbabwe or whatever else.
Yeah.
And the way that they view the world or the religion or the lens that they see things may not be up to their standard.
Actually, they might not be up to the conversation itself from the beginning.
Absolutely.
I do agree.
Absolutely.
They just take us back to educating the public.
So, like, but I'm not propagating that we should have a Tower of Babel. To where we should all speak the same language
and believe
the same thing, but like freedom of speech, freedom like these things that we cherish so much in this United States of America to be the cornerstones of who we are as a people, they're not respected everywhere, and they are not to be. And so, like, where do you draw the line, dude?
Yeah, it's something that has to be earned. The different narrative, all this stuff. I would give countless examples. I would start with. So, a matter of fact, some stuff history agrees on it, and let's say. Most of the world, but not the entire world, okay? And I'll mention an example for that. But some other stuff, we, like, different narrative agree according where you were born, all right? So let me start with the former. Let me start with most of the people would agree on something, but some other people would criticize that in a way. Let's talk about World War II.
Okay.
Okay. We all know that a Holocaust, no one is denying that. And no one can deny that. But a general perceive of the entire thing, when you mention World War II, the first or one of the first things that come up to your mind is the Holocaust.
You rarely speak about what happened in Northern Africa.
At all. Plus,
what happened in the Middle East?
You rarely speak about the 50 million Chinese who died.
Yeah.
The 45 million.
You're not taught that.
Who died? You never talk about it. As a matter of fact, books that's been never published, matter of fact, but you can search about them on the internet and you can find manuscripts of them. And actually, very Jewish writers, very prominent ones, okay, were trying to say a realistic point of view, trying to portray what actually happened in the midst of all this stuff, because it was not, there was anti-Semitism all over Europe. No one denies that, but that wasn't the main cause of World War II, right? So I would say if you go to Egypt, you would agree with every single one in there, or basically in the Middle East, about your narrative and my narrative of World War II.
Okay.
But some other places, no. Some other place, I can actually mention places, some of them are in Europe, okay? And try really hard to actually be open about it. You rarely see anyone talk openly about what actually happened, unless they are survivors or, you know, grandchildren of survivors.
That's the orientation, and whether it be just through passing of tongues through generation that I would be interested in hearing, because there's probably a whole lot of truth to it. And they're probably talking because who writes history?
The winner.
Yeah.
The winner.
So what about those people who were just kind of offstanding?
Yeah.
Or even the loser, even if they weren't a part of it.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
I do.
There's something about it.
I do. I can also mention where history has been manipulated in a way.
How so?
I would talk about, for example, the nationalization of the Suez Canal. What's known as the Suez Crisis. It was the closest moment to a nuclear war during the Cold War. Okay, when Kennedy was alive.
Shout out, dude.
Okay, so before the nationalization of that canal, which is basically of huge importance because it links the Indian Ocean, it links entire Russia and Asia with Europe and America without going all over Africa. You just have to pass the Red Sea through the Mediterranean, and you're up there. That's it. Right now, in our current world, it takes up to 26% of the entire world trade. I might be wrong on this number, but it's not very huge. But it's still in the 20th percentage of the entire world trade. This is a big number.
You're not wrong.
So before that crisis, mm-hmm. it was controlled by the Brits and French.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the entire people who operate, and actually they never gave the Egyptian authorities or the government at the time, which was kingdom at the time,
mm-hmm.
Never gave it a penny. Okay? Mm-hmm. Those who dug the canal were Egyptian people. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, but let me also be fair, the engineers were most probably French and Brits. Okay? But I'm just saying we could have had a share in it. Right?
Should have.
It's right in our land, right, at least. That never happened. In 1956, Nasser nationalized that. You know what happened?
Tell me.
The Prime Minister of the UK at the time, the USA was not, didn't get involved as much as we know right now in the Middle East. Okay? A matter of fact, at the time, the United States didn't give weapons to Israel, for example. Okay?
Okay, it's before the Iron Dome.
Yeah, that's way before it, okay? The PM of UK led a propaganda campaign against Nasser, portraying him as Hitler. Literally, the British news over there were saying Egyptians are cultivating potatoes on the canal instead of operating it. I mean, how ridiculous is that? They led an ultimatum against it with France and Britain.
Money, baby.
But I mean, so if you read the UK version of history about this, you wouldn't find all these details. If you read the Egyptian version of it, you will never find a single detail about how the West or Europe were trying to portray Nasser as Hitler. Not even a single inch of it. Okay? Mm-hmm. So it doesn't exist. You see, the cherry pick. What do you want to
put in there? Yeah, what they want to tell.
And I can just give numerous examples about this.
Yeah, dude.
But the thing is, how to actually get people out of this shell, out of the shell that they build around themselves from religious ideas and historical ideas and their, you know, nationalism feeling. How do you get people out of the shell just a little bit and educate them? Just
tough.
Maybe they would understand each other a little better. I think this would make the world a better place.
It would. So it's a big part of having this conversation, you know, is talking about that. With, like, evangelicals, Christianity, specifically in the South, is, dude, you want to talk about a group of people that have stories and traditions passed down that are so watered down to where they can't go back and actually figure out where it came from. What's sad? You have the manuscript. All you gotta do is read it. But the stories that they tell now have almost nationalized it to a place, to a country, to a specific region of like Christianity in the South. It's obtuse. It's grotesque. And it's not about like what you or I would consider true religion. I know you're not religious, but what these people are after is a feel-good experience. As if it's something like showing up on a Sunday morning that's supposed to uplift themselves to where they would feel good about their lives until they come back on Sunday. And it's not so much about the actual religion as it is about the emotion. And then you stack that up on top of their belief, because it's shallow, they don't actually know the history of that particular part in the world when it comes to the Gaza Strip and Jerusalem and Israel and all that.
I could tell, I've met people who actually believe that Jesus was born in Alabama.
Yeah, how about that? How about that? How about that? You know?
No, I mean,
but like, you know, it's insane to me. But like even go back before 1946, 1947, when Israel became a state or a nation, or even like if you were to go to 1967, or even if you were to walk it up to the first time that Netanyahu was in power, up to Netanyahu today, the state of Israel never had any intention on letting the Palestinians be their own people and have their own land. That was never their intent. But also, I'll say this, Farouk, Iranians, Egyptians, Lebanese, no one in that part of the world had that intent for them either. They're a people of no country for a good reason.
So I don't want to talk about every single country and their history, especially in the Middle East, of trying to liberate Palestine.
Sure.
Okay. But I'm gonna say,
and by the way, I didn't want to label or talk negatively. I was just
no. I get your point of view exactly. I get what you're saying.
Okay.
I get it. So let's take Iran as an example.
Yeah.
What happened in Iran? Okay. By the way,
go back to the 70s.
The word Iran comes from the word Aryan.
Yes.
And if you know, the Nazis are the people who are Aryan Nordic, okay, who believed in the superior race.
Mm-hmm.
So it started from there. Actually, the people who migrated and populated this area, the Aryan people. That's why it's called Iran. But Iran, before the Islamic regime, was still a kingdom, the kingdom of Persia.
The Mujahideen.
Mujahideen? No, this came after. Mujahideen came after. Actually, okay. Mujahideen. So
that was back in the 90s, right?
Let me tell you. As a matter of fact, so Iranians don't speak Arabic. So they don't know the word Mujahideen, because it's an Arabic word. As a matter of fact, the word Mujahid or Mujahid means a one who struggles against something. So I can say, okay, Ana Ugahid, or I'm struggling in learning this code. You get me?
Okay.
So they use it as this type of word. But when it comes to a person in the war, oh, he's also struggling against the opponent trying to do something. Right? Mm. So before that, you had the kingdom of Persia, which the people, which the Shah, right, has been taken off. Has been taken off. And
for those listening, what's the Shah?
The Shah was kind of the
king. He's a religious leader, right?
No, the religious leader came after. This is what I'm trying to say, okay? So there was some people trying to protest against him, and he fled the country, right? And so the CIA orchestrated another protest to bring him back. And he came back and stayed for 10 years till the Islamic Revolution happened in Iran. That one that came with the supreme leader.
A coup d'etat.
Okay.
That is what they financed, and that's what the CIA, that's what they wanted.
But 10 years after, they couldn't control it. They couldn't control it.
That's no, and that's when they grew powerful, and they were like, F the USA.
That's why they say death to America and death to Israel.
Yes.
That's what America did to them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, before that, actually before that regime, America was like honey and butter with Iran. Militarily, you know, aviations, everything.
Well, I mean, like, even the Israeli women, the Iranian women, they didn't wear the hijab.
Yeah.
Like, sure. they could freely...
Yes.
This was 70s, 80s Iran.
Yeah. I hate the Islamic regime, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I fucking despise that shit. Okay, I believe it should exist. But that's one part, and that applies for Afghanistan, that applies for Pakistan, that applies for all the Stan countries. And Stan, by the way, in this type of... Western and Eastern Asia, it means the people who own the land. So when you say Afghanistan, this means the land of the Afghan people.
Mm-hmm.
So,
is that wrong to say?
No. Why?
I don't know. I was asking.
No. I'm just saying because people get the word "stand" as like in English. You get me?
Stand, yeah.
Satanic or something. No.
No, it's not. Yeah.
But look, for example, over the Middle East. Let's look at this part in Africa, North Africa. You had a kingdom. You had a military coup that's still ruling till now. Right? Still ruling till now.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened? What happened after that military coup? Right after, the first officer who been the leader of the nation, right after, he wanted to fight the shit out of Israel. And when the United States...
Why?
Because he believed... Because this was in the 50s. Israel was just...
A brand new nation.
A few year old nation. Okay?
And thank you.
At the time, they had better understanding of history. They have seen all the migration of a lot of Polish and all these people who have been, expelled out of Europe. And we all know that the United States has welcomed some, but not the majority of them. Actually, the United States have been offered to take, buy from them, what is it, New Mexico and Arizona, I guess. There were some places to expel all the Jews to that place. Another place was Argentina, and there was somewhere in West Africa. And
it was also, Argentina.
Yeah, and there was also Palestine on the table, okay? And so you had this. They wanted to fight against them. They wanted a Palestinian state. As a matter of fact, Nasser negotiated for the sake of two-state solution. That's
driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices. All in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice Bone-In Tender Ribeye Steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5, then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Why he wanted to fight Israel, because he could see no hope in them giving the Palestinian people a nation, a state for their own.
But the whole thing about it, Farouk, is even if you were to displace the Palestinians, Argentina, United States, Northern Africa, wherever, it ain't about the people or them prospering. It's the location. And they believe they have a homestead that place around Jerusalem.
Again, we come to the same point. I just don't want to deviate a lot, but I'll come to the same point where you say the myth about the origin and the ancestral land, okay?
It is historical.
Because as a matter of fact, everyone, even the white people, come from Africa because the first human being was there. Does this mean that all people should go to Africa? This is their ancestral place, right? Are you 3,000 years old to say I have the right to go back? As a matter of fact, ethnically speaking, I don't know if you know that DNA tests are kind of illegal in Israel.
Oh, everything goes back to there, dude. So does part of the country.
Okay. So this was just away from the point, but I was going to say...
But no, it's not just so geographical for them. It's also religious, though.
Sure.
And religion, like, weighs on that a lot.
I'm not disagreeing. But it's also as important for Christianity. Jesus was born there. Moses was not born in Palestine.
No.
Okay?
He was born in Canaan.
And it's also important for Muslims. It's also important for them. Their prophet traveled all the way from Arabia.
Don't you find it weird that they had a sacred building destroyed in Gaza during this whole thing?
Yeah.
Don't you find that kind of symbolic?
Honestly, for me, destroying a university or a school is much more significant than destroying, let's say, a mosque for me. Yeah, it's important. People go and religiously practice the rituals. I respect that, you know. Yeah. You have to be religion. You're okay, you know. I don't disagree with that, as long as it's your own world, because it's your personal, you know, choice. But a university, that's for everyone, regardless. A school, that's for everyone. As a hospital, right? But again, to the point where, okay, what changed? He wanted to fight them now. The next president came, and now they made the most wonderful peace treaty ever.
You think the Abraham Accords?
I'm talking about Camp David in 1979.
Oh.
This is after the Abraham Accords, okay?
Okay.
So, same thing happens with Jordan. Same thing happens with, United Arab Emirates, Dubai. They are trying to get the same thing happen with Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Maybe. This thing will never happen with Iran. Why? Because you're not controlling the people in the power. If you have effect on them, you will get them to follow you. This is exactly what happens in Egypt. It entirely follows... Dude, you know that the second country that takes most, you know, of the money and the support from the United States right after Israel is Egypt.
Yes. And they suffer the most.
Because they set them up for a perfectly functioning dictatorship.
Yeah.
And this happens all over.
Yeah.
So this tells you why no other country wanted them. Right? This tells you when you hear that South Africa started the case against them instead of any other, let's say, you know, Arabic country, neighboring country, it makes you wonder what the hell is going on.
Sure.
Why these people are not talking, you know? I mean, it would make sense. Imagine any country in Europe, it would make sense the neighboring country would feel intimidated right away and would start talking. Yeah, they do have the right to defend themselves, but I mean, it's not a slaughter. Mm. So that makes you wonder who's actually controlling these masses. Why you have never seen protests in Egypt for Palestine? You've seen protests in the USA, in UK, all over Europe. But you've never seen one in Egypt. You wonder why. And you know that the Egyptian people 100% support, whether Christians or Muslims, support the Palestinian cause.
I don't think they do.
Who?
I don't think the Egyptians support the Palestinians.
No,
at all.
They do. They do. But the thing about it is,
I don't think they have the freedom to do it.
Exactly.
Is that it? Is that the problem?
The first protest that's been organized, a lot of people have been arrested until now. Let me say abducted, because we don't know where they are. Okay? Some of them are 25 years old. They're in college. Some of them are just 30-ish and 40-ish working as, you know, journalists and stuff. They've just been abducted. This is enough. You see? So it's really control, you know, that when you know that the only neighboring or the only Rafah crossing that we could actually get humanitarian aid through is in Egypt, and Egypt is closing it, it makes you wonder, right? I mean...
Well, I think that would be the sanctions from the United States.
It would be, it has to have the green light.
It has to, yeah.
It has to have the green light.
Yeah. And so, they don't have a green light.
No.
And like with the protests that you're talking about here in the United States or in the UK, I think those college students, they're not dumb to it. And they know the powers that be. And
I think
we're gonna see. It's curious, Farouk. RFK Jr., Robert Kennedy Jr., I do not think that he is in any kind of way in contention to be president. He's an independent, and if people want to vote for him, they can. I've considered it. And then you had Donald Trump. He was at the Libertarian Party as well. It was in Washington, D.C. over this past weekend. They both were there. And it's crazy to me that I think Donald Trump carries more of a populist movement to where he wants to lead America to be more focused just on America, to kind of leave the world to its own end. And that's not a thing.
No, what do you mean that's not a thing?
You can't do that.
I mean, you can definitely contribute to it.
But to fully withdraw from the world?
I'm a scientist. I can just tell you Trump is dumb. Okay? Is that clear?
I'm not saying that I'm for him or against him. I'm just saying his idea.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is. But for real. You just have to be mindful. Just sit without actually swallowing. I'm just talking not to you, but in general. I'm just saying, if you swallow what's been, you know, fit to you right away, yeah, you will have this an idea. It will just fly out there. It's entirely flawed. That doesn't make it less, you know, catastrophic. I really should use sharp words for this. Trump is not. I mean, people are deviating right now towards him because how bad Biden is running this.
Yeah, Biden, he's doing a horrible job, dude.
He's been doing so good. He's been doing so good.
Internationally.
Did this shit happen?
You liked it.
I mean, honestly, he's done a lot for the American people.
How right? So?
The loan program, all this stuff.
That's not the American people, bro.
No, why?
That's not the mass.
Well, I still believe in a, let's say, you know, universal health care, a better health care system.
Ain't done nothing for that.
He's done nothing for that. That's true. I would say, you know,
my groceries are higher.
Yep.
I pay a lot for gas. I have to work 3 jobs now under him. It's not real good for me?
It really, I mean, it just happened in the past 2 years. I don't think it was always really bad over the past 2 years. I have not been in the United States for long, but I know that in Asia, for example, in 2016, even in 2019, it wasn't that fucked up.
Yeah, it wasn't.
So, I'm just saying, I really don't know. I don't favor any of these people who been portrayed as leaders.
Well, you know what sucks?
Yeah.
I don't want any of them.
Thing is, there must be someone out there.
Now, there happens to be a whole lot of them, I guess. You know?
We don't know. We don't know until we know.
Yeah, and through doing this podcast, talking to people, what people really care about, what people are about, it sucks that, and you really can't, but things can't be just held to just local level all the time, you know, that you didn't need a, just here in America, that you didn't need a local, county, state, national, like, let's run ourselves, you know, let us have our thing.
Yeah,
because we're here and we know how to govern ourselves and like we know what we're about, and I really don't need like a lot of outside influence that doesn't know anything what the fuck we're doing. I don't need that.
Yeah,
like let us run us. But I mean, that's not the case, you know.
Yeah, you mentioned quite a few key points and talked about evangelicals.
Yeah.
Which actually plays a crucial role.
Crucial.
In Christian Zionism, which is, I believe, much more dangerous than
Zionism.
Preach. When you attach it to Judaism.
Okay. You know, one thing that's more dangerous to Christianity than Christian Zionism? Christian cultism. Mm. But you know what they do?
Mm.
They only focus on themselves. And you only have like these pastors, these leaders of the organization to benefit from it. So they'll weed themselves out. Unfortunately, it takes quite a bit of time for the members to wake
kind
up.
And cults you're talking about, or such as the Proud Boys, or
I would say like the Vibrant Church in Columbus, or actual church organizations like Proud Boys, all that. I really wouldn't attach Christianity to that, I don't think. I would
just they go with the ideology that, you know, it should be
the, but what's crazy about
that again, and
what's crazy about the Proud Boys is it's kind of weird to track, because the front man is, he's Mexican.
Mm.
And I don't know, like, I don't know what the fuck they believe, to be honest with you. I don't feel one way or the other about them. I've never cared. I'm not affiliated.
I know, but there are likes of them as well.
Yeah.
So, it's a thing. Yeah, man, I mean, it seems like the actual people who run the world are not actually, I don't know how to say it, but they're not working for the sake of the public.
It almost seems like they want the opposite of it, for real.
I mean, when everyone is telling you don't do that, and you just go right there and do it.
I mean, that was the whole thing with, like, a couple days ago, maybe a week ago now, the Iranian president in a plane just went missing and then found dead. And I was like, that could be a Franz Ferdinand kind of thing if we're not careful.
Sure.
And, dude, just what I know about the world history, people, I don't want my country to be at war with Iran. I definitely don't want boots on the ground. I don't want boots on the ground against anybody. Dude, I'm for fucking peace. Like, dude, why can't we work together as a fucking human race and we figure this AI shit out and we, like, get interplanetary? And if you don't like somebody, fucking take your ass to Mars. You know what I mean? Like, wouldn't that be, like, way better, you know, than, like, we just try to fucking kill each other here? But, man, like, one thing that I'm pretty sure that you've seen here, and I don't know, just for the health of this nation, is I don't know what we're going to do with all these people who are addicts, who are drug-ridden, whether it be fentanyl, heroin, cocaine, crack. All these drugs, and we did a war on drugs back in the Reagan administration, back in the late 80s, early 90s. It carried on to the alts, onto the teens, and we're finally stepping away from that as a nation to where we're somewhat accepting of marijuana. And but like when we're talking about like drugs, it's hard drugs. Dude, like, we fucking shit all over meth and heroin and all that, as we should. I don't think you should do that, but like, we're so easy with drinking alcohol or whatever else. But God, good grief, dude! Like, pick a lane, like. And by the way, I guess maybe the segue for this is some of these drugs is actually pretty good for those who can be lucid with the field of work that they're doing. So yeah. I'm halfway kind of for some of it.
No, yeah, it's all about management and regulation. If you regulate the drug market, you won't need to have a war over drugs.
That's okay. Something.
Because, all right, for me, I believe that the government has no say of whatever the shit you're smoking.
Amen, dude.
Okay? For me, that's how it goes. But the government right now does have a say in it. So let's go with that. Let's see what's going on. I've never seen, you know, for example, a big meta-analysis or advertisement on the cable news for the people or on the social media to spread awareness of, all right, you're a heroin addict. Let me tell you your limit. Let me tell you
how much you can take. No, you haven't.
Right? You're doing that thing. You know that there are functioning addicts in very high places right now. I'm talking about, I mean, at the time when I listened to this podcast, it was with the department head of psychology at Columbia University, and he was talking about he is actually a functioning addict. He takes
there's a functioning addict at MSU.
I'm not
on heroin.
Yeah, yeah.
And he knows how to dose himself.
Where is the regulation? How many people know? How many people die because they are just don't know? They never got educated about it, right? Yeah. All right, if you want to set a law for something, you have to make people aware of it. Then after that, you go ahead and say, all right, here is where I draw the line, and that's it. But well, you can't draw a line without...
That's the hairy thing, Farouk. That's the hairy thing. It's like you're talking about freedom and regulation. And I don't think those two should be juxtaposed. I think they should be, like, I think freedom and regulation should be a jagged line to where, like, you do cut in on some things as to the betterment of society. But I, like, good grief,
dude. Regulation has to do with centralization.
Okay, yeah, I'm with that.
And so when I talked first about regulation, I just said, I started this with saying... The government should not interfere with that. It's none of their business, okay? But I'm saying, freedom is a very loose word. freedom is something very big. I mean, the word freedom is very ambiguous. It means a lot of things. It gives you a lot of feelings at the same time. What do you mean by freedom? Is it absolute? Is it unconditional? I can't be freedom.
You know the way that I carry it.
Well, because you're my friend. I'm just
I carry it absolute. You know how I do it, baby. Let's go, dude. I got fucking eagles on my shoulders, dude. I'm out there, dude.
Good. That's good.
But yeah, back to your point. Like a little.
And so, I do believe that to have a real meaning of something, you really have to know the boundaries of it. And you can't know how far you go until, you know, you try to go far enough.
You're talking about pushing.
And so, yeah, that's right.
Pushing boundaries.
But at the same time, not in a crazy way. You see, I'm not saying there should be a button right now and I press the button and tomorrow everything is legalized. You can do whatever the shit you want. Sniff it. Right there.
Just a little bit at a time.
But this will just turn this world upside down. It's not a one day step. You see? So this is why the education thing, the awareness thing has to kick in. So that you can actually, this is what I mean by regulation.
Do you think that people could drug themselves on AI like they do on heroin? I do.
Well, I know that drugs do, you know, mess with your body chemistry and stuff, and the result of it is what you have, as you know, that cheering feeling, the highness feeling, a good feeling. I find it hard to believe that interacting with AI or even with a very intelligent human being, like could be, you just imagine that super intelligent, right, sitting in front of you, would just give you the same. It's just a conversation.
Thank
yeah,
you.
There is some kind of intellectual orgasm out there. I'm not denying that, but that effect of drugs, I don't know how you simulate that. We have to search that up. Can that be simulated without actually taking drugs? Would there be negative effects for it? It's a very wild idea.
Mm-hmm.
I like it though.
I'm with it, dude, but like we're talking about like these dudes talking to AI girls and building relationships with them, and we're talking about like
you watched that movie Her?
Sure. Yeah.
You watched that?
Sure.
So,
I mean, that could be a real thing.
Yeah.
I mean, like that's where we are. I think we're seeing it play out a little bit. I don't think we should be numb to it. But, like, do we want those people to breed? That ain't the question that I'm asking. It's like, dude, I just need humans to exist. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, dude, we can't depend on you and I to just have 10 kids and just, like, be juggernauts, dude.
Yes. The thing about existence, Assuming that we solved everything that has to do with anything in a matter of a decade, it would still go to hell. Everything has a lifespan, especially if it's natural. When you talk about Earth, this ecosystem is doomed to collapse someday. It doesn't matter. We're just accelerating that by pushing all this...
What do you think happens after, Farouk?
Well, we have to figure this shit before it, not after. Because there will be no after.
It seems to be where we're headed, dude.
I don't want to imagine it. No, I want to work for not.
Is that why you do what you do?
Preventing that. Maybe helping humanity.
Okay.
Maybe thrive somewhere else. Existing. You want to keep existing. You don't associate the existence of planet Earth, do you?
Hell no.
So, I mean, we don't know. We might know.
I like that. Or you see humanity in 10 years?
The same shit.
Thank you.
I believe that Gen Z might actually have a chance to change humanity within a course of 2 decades, 3 decades. It would take time. 10 years would be one step forward, I believe. Because what you've seen all over the media, the interaction with the Ukraine war, even before the Gaza Israeli war.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What you've seen with the interaction with something we actually never got to talk about is the war in Sudan. There is a genocide going on right now in Sudan.
Amen.
There is another one going on right now in Congo.
Yes, there is.
Okay. I mean, most of people don't know about it.
I follow it.
And now... And now, when you talk about the direction of this Gen Z expressing their ideas and their views for the future and standing right there saying no, saying no, saying we have a say in this, I think this might be a good hope. I think the media that we're practicing right now in this very posh talk and anything similar to it is actually making this possible.
Yeah, different point of view.
Because this is not allowed in the cable news, as a matter of fact.
No, it's not.
Control, you know, very direct.
No, it's not. That's true. Thankful for it, too, you know. We met at a show.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I met at a show back in 2021, October, I guess. It was a Halloween night. It was October 31st.
How about them apples, dude?
Oh, yeah.
Look at this. Look at us.
Super cool.
Yeah, dude. I love that. Love that. And my goodness is, don't trust what the mainstream media is telling you. And I'll go further. Don't trust us.
You have to go check out yourself.
You have to go figure it out for yourself,
that's
dude.
Right.
If you care.
You know.
If you care.
Yeah.
If you want to be about it.
I'm a big believer in the fuck around and find out rule.
But what you'll probably find out is that we're probably right.
Yeah. Bro.
Dude, like, that's so wild, you know. Like, I'll peel the curtain back as... Dude, like, I'll pick Farouk up sometimes. We'll go out to the Knoxville County Refuge. Like, we'll ride around and, like, windows down, looking at Mississippi. Oh, it's beautiful. It's good stuff, dude. You ever been out there? You should if you haven't. But looking at everything going on, it's like from what the mainstream tells you to, like, what Farouk and I are talking about. Way different, dude. And I think that's, like, really kind of a testament to our friendship is I know better than to believe that dumb shit. You know what I mean? I don't know how many Americans that you have that can actually, like, talk about, like, what's...
I've been so lucky all of them do talk about it. I can't keep a friend if I can't talk with them honestly. So, yeah, all my American friends do open and talk about it. I'm grateful for it.
I don't have anything else to do. Farouk, thank you.
Absolutely, that was fun.
We're out of here, dude. We'll be right back.
start thinking through all the brownouts we fill into, and it's a real drag. Can't find the keys, still need a shoulder.
Thank you.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.